You've got to have a routine with everything on a day-to-day basis, and you have to foresee any changes that can take place. You have to think about where you would go. For instance, organisations like BBs, do you have to help out? Which I do, but it's been the best thing for him. You have to think about the shops and try and predict anything and everything that can happen in life, which can be very stressful and very difficult. But at the same time, most of the children I know with autism have got the most funniest sense of humour, and they're brilliant to be round about, and they see the world as it actually is because they've got no filter. So if you want to know what your hair's like that day or anything else, ask an autistic person or an autistic child, because they will be honest with it and they tell the truth. So,
which is quite a wonderful thing to find somebody that can be so almost brutally honest about life.
Oh, they're very brutal about it.
And you mentioned that he goes to the BBs. I know he was taking part in a karate competition today.
He's in the karate at the Scottish team. And we're going to London this weekend. We'll be going to the World Champions in June. And that's all down to the help of Sensei Bill here for the Burakuro Karate Club, because he's excellent with all children, no matter what their background is. And he's been excellent with Aidan. The hospital have also recognised the positives he's had from karate. It helps his coordination. It's helped his social interaction. He's obviously doing sport and he's involved in that. And as a result of that, he's been up to Parliament. He's met all the MPs because he has been a positive role model. He's a teenager, he's got autism, he has his days that were challenging days like everybody else, but he is trying really hard.
What age was Aidan when he got diagnosed with autism?
Now, he was in primary 5 when we eventually got the diagnosis, so he would have been 9, and that was a long wait. Mm-hmm. That is a long wait, but I know currently the NHS, Ayrshire and Arran, are trying to tackle the waiting times and the diagnosis times. Just now they're looking at that.
And in that time from when he was diagnosed to now, have you seen changes in the levels of support that are available for people with autism?
The most support you get locally is from the South Ayrshire Autistic Society, who are wonderful, and also the National Autistic Society. South Ayrshire Autistic Society are based in Ayr, and National Autistic Society have got an office in Kilmarnock, and both have got wonderful support. They're very good at networking, and if you need to know something, if they don't know the answer, they'll help find the answer for you. So we find that the charities, the local charities, are invaluable, not just for the children or the adults who have autism, but for the family, because autism's very isolating for the families and for the children because of their behaviours, and they do things a bit differently, think a bit differently. So you find that any groups that they are running, like the bowling days and parties and laser storms and days out, are absolutely valuable, because we desperately need that contact. And parents are able to talk to each other and have a right good moan and a right good gossip about what's happening. And, you know, they just get it. They just get it. So they do.
And obviously, autism has been kind of thrust into the spotlight over the last couple of years.
Yes.
With people with the lack of diagnosis and things like that. Do you think people are becoming more accepting of it and more aware of, you know, what it involves?
Generally, the education system are showing evidence that they're getting more accepting of it. And again, groups like the Boys Brigade, karate clubs, all your social groups that you would normally bring your children to, that before you'd be like, oh, I couldn't possibly bring my child there. They wouldn't understand. What if they had a meltdown and all this what ifs, buts. But as soon as you speak to people now and explain the behaviours and how to deal with the behaviours, we're finding they're much more accepting. And the most important thing, if they don't know, they ask you. Because I've been asked to talk to different organisations myself, so they do have, the coaches have an understanding, and group leaders have an understanding, because sometimes organisations like, again, like the Boys Brigade, is the only social contact these children have apart from your charities. So if you think of a child who only gets to go to school but has no friends to go out and play with afterwards, they don't have the social contact, they don't know how to play the games and things, and the social rules that we take for granted. But they're not written down anywhere. We just know how to play and how to speak and how to interact with one another. Autistic children can't do that, or autistic adults can't do that, so they find it very difficult. So it is really, really important that our local communities, our groups, libraries, everywhere are inviting, and the children feel safe and they don't feel anxious in these environments, because anxiety is the worst thing that they have. So it is.
You mentioned obviously you're going down to London for the karate championship.
Yes, uh-huh.
Like that. And you also said that you have to prepare for every single situation.
Yes.
How do you deal with something like a trip like that that can be quite unpredictable and what's going to happen?
What we have to do is we get as much notice as possible from the karate club that if he's going, and we start talking about it, we are going to London, we are going to London. Then the next thing is how we're travelling. So I have to think, right, we're going, say we're driving down this time, but sometimes if we're flying, we've got to say, right, we're going to get a lift to the airport, and then we have to go to the desk, and then we go through security. It's very much a step by step by step, as much as possible before going. But also bringing things with you that can keep the children entertained as well, and distraction techniques. You become an expert in distraction techniques, so you do. But the airports are most places like now, if you just highlight, I have an autistic child, can I go through security quickly, please? And they're very, very accommodating. They say, of course, come through. So a lot of places, a lot of transport places are very good that way nowadays. And it's definitely getting better. So it's just prepping for as long as possible prior to the journey.
And if Aidan does, you know, if something happens and he does have, you know, you called it a meltdown,
mm-hmm.
How do you deal with that? Do you find people are quite understanding, or
you do get the usual, oh my goodness, look at that child, imagine behaving and screaming and shouting like that. Before, it used to bother me. Now I just ignore it. If that's all they've got to worry about, is it being in a shop or somewhere and a child screaming, is it the end of the world? No, it's not actually. They might not like it, but if people just stop and think, oh, it's not a temper tantrum. The child's anxious. So if you're in a shop, you see someone having a screaming child, or even a screaming adult, or behaviours you think, that's a bit strange, just think, is the person anxious? Do they need a little bit of help? Or do they need a little bit of space for us to step back? That's not difficult. And it's always good to say to the mums or dad who are maybe dealing with it, do you need a little hand? Can I do anything for you? And if they say, no, thank you, I'm fine, then just walk away and leave the mum and dad to deal with the situation.
But at least you've made that step to let them know that you're understanding of the situation.
Exactly. Because it's not a temper tantrum. A meltdown is anxiety, and it means they're not coping with the noises or the light or their clothing, because Aidan has severe problems with wearing socks and shoes, and we have walked her through many streets in the pouring rain and bare feet with the looks as if, why is that child not put shoes on? Because the child couldn't wear shoes. But what I will say, we were in Poland for another karate competition. And Aidan couldn't put his shoes on in the last night, and all the children wanted to go out, you know, to celebrate the end of the competition. And he was crying because he actually couldn't put his shoes on. It was like pain to him. And the children said, "Is Aidan coming?" I says, he can't put his shoes on. We can't walk through the city streets in bare feet. Well, if Aidan's not going, we're not going either. And there was about 30 kids all just stayed. And they played in this hotel pool and had a fantastic night. So if he's not going, we're not going. And that came from a child, not from an adult. And they done that off their own back, which was amazing. Absolutely amazing. So I was really proud of them that day.
Do you tend to find that sometimes it's the kids that are way more accepting and understanding of these things than it is the adults sometimes?
Definitely. So definitely. The children are... even at Boys Brigade, I've seen them, the children saying, "Oh, I think Aidan's upset, he needs his ear defenders, it's too noisy in here." And I says, "You're right, well done. That's exactly what he's needing." But the adults maybe not think about that. And the kids just sort of go, "Aidan's running about mad today," or that sort of thing. And they do, they are very, very accepting. They are getting more accepting. Definitely more accepting, and they just think, well, that's Aidan. They don't really think, I'm not saying he doesn't annoy them at times, because he certainly does, but it's very much, oh, that's just Aidan. And then just give him a bit of time, and then they know he'll talk to them later on. If he's not talking to them at that moment, he'll talk to them later on.